Could financial firms be on the verge of repeating the big mistakes made by AIG back in 2008?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. We'll start with AIG, the company that had to be rescued by the government to the tune of almost $200 billion during the financial crisis. Well, guess what? The company, which we taxpayers still own 77% of, just reported a quarterly loss of $4 billion, its biggest since 2009. Now, this time around, the losses are due more to the bad economy than to risky bets. Back in 08, AIG had been selling insurance on mortgage investments, and it didn't have the money to pay up when mortgages started going bad. But as our senior business correspondent Bob Moon reports, many of the biggest names in finance are getting into a very similar game.
Now, American banks are making bets on how Europe's debt crisis will play out, but Stanford professor Daryl Duffy sees no need to sound alarm bells.
There's no reason to believe that they've done silly things and taken excessive amounts of risk of this type.
Duffy concedes, though, there's no way to know for sure since reforms passed by Congress are still being sorted out by regulators.
For the time being, we don't really have great visibility on who's bought insurance from whom.
The banks say not to worry. They've got insurance on their insurance. But hedge fund manager Peter Chur says the uncertainty is uncomfortably reminiscent of 3 years ago.
Here we are with the same situation. I think that's a big failure on the part of the regulators.
By one account, U.S. banks could be risking many billions more in insurance protection on shaky European debt than the loans they've actually made to those countries. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Well, we're just a couple hours away from the big October employment report from the Labor Department, which will tell us how many jobs were added last month in the U.S. and what our new unemployment rate is. Now, since April, the economy has added an average of 72,000 jobs a month. And Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports today's report is likely to show more of the same.
Economists estimate we got around 100,000 new jobs in October. Decent, but not enough to attack the 9.1% unemployment rate. And who's been hiring? Well, it's not big companies with their huge cash reserves. They've been laying people off, says Paul Ashworth at Capital Economics, because they're dependent on exports.
The outlook for growth next year looks awful, frankly, at this stage for Europe, but also the slowdown we're beginning to see in Asia.
It's companies with 10 to a few hundred employees that are hiring now.
Small and medium-sized firms are more focused on the service sector and the domestic economy,
which is still chugging along in low gear. Randy Delwo makes measuring instruments. He's been doing better as U.S. manufacturers upgrade their equipment. His staff just went from 12 to 13.
Our new hire, he's been in the electronics industry, but over the last several years has not been able to find any work in that area, and so he had to go back to construction.
For the few businesses that are hiring, it's definitely a buyer's market. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up this morning in overseas trading, about 3% higher in Hong Kong, about 0.6% higher in London right now. Here in this country, Groupon will finally go public today. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow bounced back up 208 points, or about 1.7%, to close at 12,044.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. By Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. And by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted email. Reputation.com.
Well, 7 weeks into the original Occupy Wall Street protest at Zuccotti Park in Manhattan, tensions are rising. The Rupert Murdoch-owned New York Post ran a front-page editorial yesterday calling on Mayor Michael Bloomberg to evict the protesters from the park. And a Marist poll finds half of New York State voters oppose the protesters. The demonstrators' mantra, "We are the 99%," raises the question, who exactly are the 1%? For answers, let's bring in Marketplace Economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So who are the top 1%?
Well, the top 1%, they make more than $368,000, nearing $400,000 a year, tend to be middle-aged and older. They're married, well-educated, nearly all white. I was surprised. Not very many immigrants in there. And then they're concentrated in certain occupations. You have your CEOs and senior executives, finance. Obviously, that's a big area.
Yep.
Doctors, lawyers, and I would also say media, entertainment, sports.
And is that group the same group that you would have found in the top 1% several decades ago, for instance?
No, I don't think that's the case. I think there's been a big change. If we go into the past, and particularly once we start breaking down the top 1% and you go toward the really wealthy, you know, in the past it was the rentier class. Let's think about Edith Wharton novels. Today it's much more the working rich, the people who have founded a company, say, in the information technology business or, more likely, run a hedge fund.
Now, one of the arguments that we keep hearing out of Republicans, especially in Washington, is that it's not a problem that we have these people at the top, that as long as more and more people are getting richer and richer, that's great. That's the way it should be.
Well, the problem is twofold. One is the rich keep getting richer. And, you know, the top 1%. The top 1% measured by income, you know, they captured slightly more than half of overall economic growth from the period 1993 to 2008. So it feeds a sense that this economy is increasingly unfair. But the real point is about equality of opportunity. As the rich get richer, that means there's less opportunity for those who don't belong to that class. And I said, you know, that we had the change toward the working rich. We may be creating a society where the rich are simply people that clip coupons, you know, pocket their dividend payments.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Chris, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, to an interesting prediction about the stock market from a new book. It says that based on recent history, the Dow, which is currently hovering around 12,000, will reach 100,000 in the next 20 years. Reminds me of a friend who bought shares of a medication company only to watch them plummet in value. And when I asked him about it, he said, "Don't worry, in 20 years, it'll be right where I want it." Well, one caveat from that new book. The author says before the stock market skyrockets to 100,000, it's probably going to go down a little. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Big banks are backing off those debit card fees, but is it too late to make a difference?
We've heard from credit unions from all across the country that they've seen an increase in business. We've heard anywhere from double their normal new account volume to five times as much.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Bank transfer day is coming up, you know. That story next time on Marketplace. The numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.